It is rare, but it's becoming a little bit less rare, which is healthy. I'm proud that at the New York Times, where I am the leader of our newsroom, we have a very diverse leadership team, which I think is very important because, after all, if you're going to cover the world that we live in all of its dimensions, you should have a diverse team. We are not perfect when it comes to diversity, and I would love to see, more Hispanic and Asian American journalists in our leadership ranks. But I think we're doing much better at the New York Times than was true in the past.
Let's talk about press and freedom of the press. And I'm wondering, currently, what are the biggest obstacles to a truly free press here in the U.S.?
An important one has been the proliferation of criminal leak investigations by the Obama administration. We've had 7 cases involving prosecutions of leakers where journalists have been subpoenaed in a quest to find out who was the source of their stories, who leaked information that subsequently appeared in the press. And in all of our history before this presidency, there were far fewer. The 7 during the Obama administration is more than twice all of these investigations in all of history leading up to Obama becoming president.
How did we get here?
I think it's complicated, and some of it involves, after 9/11, there were many more secret intelligence programs that developed out of a genuine need in some cases to make the country safer. And the agencies that are in charge of those programs, the CIA and the NSA and the Pentagon too, have wanted to keep them secret. My worry about keeping everything about these programs secret is that if a war, and in this case it's the war, so-called war on terror, is going to be waged in the name of the people, I think it's very important for the people to have some degree of information about the dimensions of those programs and what they entail, and to be able to weigh the need for national security against potential incursions into privacy and other rights of citizenship.
How does this secretive White House change the way your reporters work?
Well, it's made it much more difficult to do our work, and in ways that may seem small to large. And the issue of just the imagery of this White House, and I mean literally just the photographs that are taken that document what the president is doing every day. More and more, the White House has wanted the press to use pictures that its own photographers have taken, and they have placed limits on photographers for news organizations getting access to the president or the situations he finds himself in each day. And as a newspaper editor, I worry about this tighter, more controlled release of imagery. So that would be, one example. And another would be just the fact that The Times has a number of very skilled and seasoned national security reporters in Washington who have, spent years developing their sources, who sometimes, want to bring information to the reporters precisely because they respect their knowledge base and their reputation for integrity. And because of these leak investigations, sources are scared to talk to any journalists at all right now. They're worried, that their telephone records can be gotten hold of and who they talk to will be known. And so the whole atmosphere for reporting on and writing about national security has become really a difficult environment.
And do you think the public understands, too, that, okay, maybe they're not monitoring, like, who cares about my phone calls, but we're talking about the places where we get our information, that those are the ones that are threatened. Do you think that that's understood or respected by the public, or are we
I'm not sure. Okay. I mean, I'm hesitant to, say with certainty what the public is aware of or not. I spend, my working life trying to make sure the public is informed and hope that they are. But these programs are very complicated, and some of what they entail is very technical, and it's difficult for, I think, most citizens to get their arms around sort of what is private, what is collected, and that kind of thing.
Back to your career in, you started as a journalist. What kind of changes and challenges have you seen throughout the years?
Well, I would say, that the internet is probably the most profound change, and that has been both very healthy and very challenging at the same time. On the healthy side, the fact that there is so much free information on the web right now, that has meant that, in many ways journalism has been democratized. There are, so many different kinds of journalists and voices, both collecting information, analyzing it, and opining about it, that there's something very vibrant about that. On the challenge side, it also means that there's more false or unverified information circulating. Circulating around, and sometimes, just bad information gets into the system and gets reported as fact when it isn't true. And then just the speed with which news happens and the insatiable hunger to have stories. It used to be you waited until newspaper's deadline to have a story finished. Now news is instantaneous. It's 24/7. And that's been, just a profound change while I've been a working journalist.
So what's your favorite social media?
Right now I like Instagram a lot. I'm, very interested in images and pictures, and find it kind of fascinating to follow.
Really appreciate your time this afternoon.
It's been really fun talking to you.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.